let me encourage and invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is a four-part series of messages that I'm preaching entitled Holiday Mixer. And the point of this sermon series really is to tie everything that we celebrate in any other holiday ultimately back to Christmas. Without Christmas, really none of these other holidays, frankly, have any sort of meaning. We talked last week about the 4th of July, and of course the 4th of July we celebrate liberty, right? The freedom that came when our forefathers declared their independence from Great Britain, and they said we are free to govern ourselves as we wish, we are free to worship as we wish, but we realize that ultimate freedom, true freedom, comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're going to talk about the holiday Thanksgiving. Now Thanksgiving is the, of course, part of the winter holiday season that we call it, that kind of leads into Christmas and New Year's. I was trying to think about this the other day, why we don't spread our holidays out a little more throughout the year, but that's not how they set it all up. But Thanksgiving, of course, the first Thanksgiving, if you've studied history recently, probably some of us haven't, occurred back in October of 1621, and there were 90 Native Americans and 53 pilgrims that gathered together, and of course the purpose of that gathering was to give thanks to God for His blessings, be the blessings of military victory, or in many cases it was the blessings that came from the end of some sort of a drought. Thanksgiving really is a harvest festival. It is celebrating God's goodness in providing through the harvest. Now, it was George Washington, our first president, who in 1789 declared Thanksgiving as, or began to recognize Thanksgiving as a holiday, and then ultimately it was Abraham Lincoln that made it a federal holiday in 1863. And in that proclamation, I want you to see up on the screen what Abraham Lincoln had to say. He said, "I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." Don't believe anyone who tells you that our nation was not founded upon God. It most certainly was. Those who tell you otherwise do what we call revising history, and it is simply not true. We were found as a God-fearing people. Well, you know, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, every day is a day of thanksgiving. It's not just a day that we set apart in November. It's not just when we feel like it. Really, every day is a day of thanksgiving. It's not just when good things happen to us either. It's easier to thank God when good things happen to us, but the fact of the matter is that we should have hearts all the time overflowing and full of gratitude. In fact, this is your sermon in a sentence. Gratitude should be a hallmark of the Christian life. Not only is that true, the Apostle Paul says it should be such here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's interesting, if you look in your Bible, and you know, oftentimes you'll see in certain chapters in different places, it'll have headings. And under the heading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and probably most versions of the Bible, it says this, final instructions. In other words, as he's getting to the end of the letter, he's saying, listen, this is my final instructions. And here's what he says. Chapter 5, verse 12, 1 Thessalonians says this, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves." Verse 14, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." And then verse 16, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances." You might want to underline that in your Bibles. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Now, you could take this passage, you could really break it down into three different sections. Verses 12 and 13 really deal with the church's members, their responsibilities towards their leaders, how it is that they are to relate to their leaders. Verses 14 and 15 deal with our responsibilities to each other, to everyone, and how we relate to one another. But all of this, really the key to the first two is found in the last one, and that's in verses 16 through 18, which deals, it deals with our responsibilities to ourself, or even probably more appropriate, it deals with our responsibilities to God. You see, everything else in the first part of this passage, when it talks about how church members deal with their leaders and how we deal with one another, that's dealing with the outward expression. But it all really begins on the inside. Everything, by the way, that you are, every expression on the outside of you emanates from somewhere on the inside of you. Out of the mouth comes what's in the heart. The way you act, the things you say, the things you do, ultimately, there's not some external source that's influencing you. What you do and how you act and how you speak and how you respond comes from what's inside of you. And that's why verses 16 through 18 are so key, because if you're going to rightly relate to anybody, much less church leaders, much less each other, much less your family, much less your coworkers, if you're going to rightly relate to anybody, you got to get this last part right. And what does he say? He says, rejoice always. By the way, these are commands. They're imperatives. They're also in the present tense. What does that mean when they're in the present tense? That means you don't just do it one time and stop. That means you keep on doing it. And he clarifies that by saying, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. The first one he talks about is, and we'll get to the main one here in a second, but the first one he talks about is rejoicing always. Now, the fruit of the Spirit tells us in Galatians 5 that joy is a response from the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. But Paul manifests itself in so many different occasions where he found reason to rejoice. He rejoiced in the good fortune of others. When good things happen to other peoples, we should be the first ones there that are cheerleading, that are applauding them, that are encouraging them. He found reason to do that. It says in Romans 12 and verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice. I can remember I worked with a guy years ago. And every time, and he was one of a group of three people that all got hired from Texas Tech, guns up. Love that guy. 9 inches of snow in Lubbock yesterday. Remember that. They got their finals, got delayed a little bit. But I remember this guy, and the two other guys that were hired at the same time as him, they were clearly on a more successful path. They were going to advance. They just got it a little bit more than he did. And every time something good happened to them, you could see it was a real struggle for him. You could see that he looked at their success as his failure. That's not the way we're to look at life. We're to look at life differently. Why? Because our success is not based on performance. Our success is based on the fact that we know Jesus. And therefore, we can rejoice with those who rejoice. And so Paul found all sorts of opportunities to rejoice in the good fortune of others. He rejoiced when people obeyed God. That's something we ought to celebrate. When people whose lives have gone astray, they find their way to the Lord Jesus and they get on that straight and narrow path, we should rejoice with them. That's what he says in Romans 16 and verse 19. He says, for your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. We should rejoice at the spread of the gospel. You know, Paul in Philippians is dealing with a situation where he had some people who would preach Christ for right reasons, for noble reasons, but then there were other people who were preaching Christ for selfish reasons. Look what Paul says in Philippians 1, verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. He rejoiced at Jesus. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope. See, Paul knew what his future was going to be like. He talked about that. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He had reason to rejoice always because he knew that when the bell tolled for him, he knew what awaited him on the other side. And so he always had a reason to rejoice. C.S. Lewis said it best when he said, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." Oh, believers, we should live our lives full of joy, rejoice always. Now, one of the keys to doing that is you got to do the second one, that is pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That is talking about a worshipful approach to God. It is to be the pattern of our lives. That's what he said in Romans 12:12. Be constant in prayer. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, wait a minute. If I bow my head, close my eyes, and walk around all the time like that, I'm going to run into all sorts of poles and walls. That's not what he's talking about. We should always have a spirit of prayer about us. It doesn't mean that we have to utter words. It doesn't mean, but we always ought to be cognizant of God's presence. You know, sometimes, and we talked about this morning in Sunday school, sometimes we're in situations in life where we can't even bring words or put words to our prayers. But the Bible tells us in Romans 8, verse 26, that even when we can't utter words, the Holy Spirit takes our groanings into the very throne room of God. Always be prepared to pray. Always be ready at any moment to drop in prayer. And no, you don't have to bow your heads. And no, you don't have to close your eyes. You can pray. You can be praying and should be praying now. Being aware of His presence. He is a friend to us. He is a friend to sinners. So rejoice always, and because you know Jesus, you always have a reason to rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Yes, there are times in your life where you're going to set apart and get alone, long periods of time where you should be in prayer. But always be in a spirit of prayer. Always be ready to pray, to lift your heart to God. And then finally, give thanks in all circumstances. I'm scratching my head because it itches, but it's also kind of a head scratcher. Are you serious, God? You know, it could also be translated, if you don't like in all circumstances, it could also be translated at all times. Oh, and if that wasn't enough, you can look at Ephesians 5 and verse 20, which says, giving thanks always and for everything. Are you telling me that I get the good stuff, right? I get the good stuff, but are you really telling me that even when bad stuff happens to me, I'm supposed to thank you for it? The answer is yes. You know, he tells us a lot about how he feels about us. God does. He tells us that he loves us. He tells us that he loves us with a love that we can never get away from. He tells us that he is always with us. The Bible says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He tells us in Romans 8:28, and by the way, if this is not underlined and highlighted, and you ought to take a picture of it and put it on your wall, you ought to put it on multiple walls in your house. In fact, if you're artistic enough in here, you ought to take this moment and capitalize on it and make a bunch of signs and sell them throughout, because you ought to have this where you see it every single day. But you know what Romans 8:28 says, don't you? All things, not some things, not just the good things, all things work together for who? For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Does that mean all things work together for everybody? No. It says all things work together for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Those who love the Lord Jesus, those who have placed their faith in him, those who are walking according to his commandments, those are the ones who can be sure that in good times and in bad times, when good things happen and in bad things happen, all those things work together for your good. And why? Because God is sovereign, God is providential, and he is, listen to me, he is intentional towards you. God is not somewhere on the hilltop just observing what's happening in your life. He is there, he knows what's going to happen next, and he is with you throughout it. And let me tell you this, there are so many stories of people's lives who got turned upside down only to find that when they got right side up, they were better off than before. You can trust God in this because He is sovereign, He is providential, and He is intentional. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in all things, at all times, in every situation and in every circumstance, give thanks to God. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now don't glance over that last phrase there. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You see, people of Paul's time were used to living under the Mosaic law. They were used to this outward conformity. They were used to trying to do everything right so that they would be accepted by God. But this is different. See, not only are we relating to God by a set of rules, we're relating to God through His Son who indwells the believer. There is a union with Christ that begins an inward transformation that results in overseeing our relationships with each other. But it all begins with that inner relationship. You know, there's been much made this week about the old Christmas song, "Baby, It's Cold Outside." Oh, Lord. From Charlie Brown Thanksgiving to Rudolph being abused by his father to God only knows what's coming next. But you know, the issue is not that it's cold outside. The issue is that many people are cold on the inside. And what they need is Jesus. You see, if you have Jesus, you have everything that you need. If you have Jesus, gratitude should be the hallmark of your life. What is a hallmark? I had to look that up because other than knowing it's a channel that plays a bunch of Christmas movies that I don't want to watch. I do like the Grinch, though. But a hallmark, this is what it says it is. It's a mark stamped on articles of gold, silver, or platinum in Britain, certifying their standard of purity. So basically a hallmark is something that marks you as authentic. It says that you are the real deal. You know what the world needs more than anything else? They need Christians who will rejoice always. They need Christians who will pray without ceasing. And they need Christians who understand that in all things, good, bad, and otherwise, we are to give thanks, for this is the will of God. But I got to tell you, if you don't have Jesus, I don't think you have a whole lot of reason to be thankful. I think if you don't have Jesus, you're facing a bad, bad situation. You see, the Bible talks about eternal separation. The Bible refers to it as hell. It is not something that we should ever deal with lightly because it's a serious matter. If you don't know Christ, that's what you're facing. And I'm not just telling you that to try to scare you. I'm not telling you that so you'll join the church. I'm telling you that because it's a reality. Right now you're living without hope and you need hope. You need Jesus. Oh, but with Him, you can live a life that's full of gratitude. You know, Paul said that I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. If I have a lot, great, I'm content. If I don't have very much, guess what? I'm also content. He says, I've learned that. Why? Because Jesus was all that He wanted and all that He needed. And that's all that we need. We just need Jesus. And just think, it all began in a manger with a baby 2,000 years ago on that first Christmas. No Christmas, no Thanksgiving, no reason to be thankful. But because of Christmas, and if you have Jesus, you have every reason to be thankful, not just on Thanksgiving, but every day and all day long. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to invite you to come to this Jesus this morning. I want to invite you to put your faith and trust in Him. I want to invite you to give Jesus your life this morning. Say, well, what do I do? First thing is, you've got to acknowledge, you've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You've got to believe that He came and died on the cross for your sins. And you got to believe that He rose again. If you'll believe that in your heart, if you'll put your faith and trust in Him, you can confidently walk out of here today knowing, not wishing, not guessing, knowing that you have eternal life. And then you can live out this passage. Listen, it's impossible to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to be thankful in all circumstances apart from knowing Jesus. But with Him, it is not only possible, it's commanded. And He never commands us to do something that He doesn't enable us to do. So you come to Jesus this morning, or come back to Him this morning. Maybe you've gone your own way. Maybe you've taken a detour, but come back to Him today. Rededicate your life. Recommit your life today. Begin again anew with Jesus today. Let's pray. Father, by Your Spirit, work in and through this room this morning. God, I pray for everyone here. No matter where they are, no matter what their situation is, God, You care about them. I pray, God, that they know this morning how much you love them. That they know that You have a special plan and purpose for their life. And that, God, You want them to know that You are present, that You love them, and that they can be filled with joy, they can be filled with hope, that You are with them, that You are present, and that no matter what happens, You love them, and You're with them, and they can be thankful for it. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me invite you to stand up. Let's sing this song of invitation. Let me encourage you and also invite you to make a decision this morning.